Second Chronicles chapter 20. We'll begin reading in verse 1 for context. Second Chronicles chapter 20. The Bible says, "It came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazar Tamar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed the fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Jump with me to verse number 12. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you please mark this phrase towards the end of verse 12, where he says, but our eyes are upon thee. Would you please mark that? But our eyes are upon thee. For a few moments, I want to speak on this topic, how to look to God in times of trouble. How to look to God in times of trouble. The Bible tells us that it was told King Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, that there were the Ammonites, the Moabites, and another country. They all came together and formed an alliance to come against the people of God. Jehoshaphat quickly realized that they were outnumbered. They did not have the resources. They did not have the manpower to fight off this coalition of armies. So the Bible tells us that King Jehoshaphat called a fast. He came and he prayed, and in his prayer, he declared before the people of God and before God, we do not know what to do. But the only thing that we know to do is to keep our eyes upon thee. We know that many times in the Christian life, God allows us to go through storms. He allows us to go through trials, times of testing. But the great test is not what we do to figure out how to get out of it. But the great test of dealing with trials is this very thing. Are we keeping our eyes upon God? Do you remember in Matthew chapter 14, when the Lord Jesus told his disciples to get into a ship and to head into the other side? This was after feeding of the 5,000. The disciples got into the ship and they began to sail and they encountered a storm. As they encountered the storm, they saw the Lord Jesus walking on the water and were afraid. They thought it was a ghost. The Lord Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Then Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And the Lord Jesus said, "Come." And the Bible says, as Peter was walking on the water, he began to look at his circumstances. He began to look at the waves. He began to look at the seas. He took his eyes off of the Lord Jesus and he began to sink. It is the same with you and I when we find ourselves in a storm. The moment we take our eyes off of Jesus, we put our eyes on the circumstances, that is when we begin to sink. And God calls us to look to him. But I ask you, what does it mean? If someone said, how do you look to Christ? What would you say? And we can take encouragement from the word of God. Number one, I want to show you that if we are going to be people who look to God in times of trouble, as we study this chapter, we have to first be people who are continually filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Notice with me in verse 14, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeliel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. And notice this, came the Spirit of God in the midst of the congregation. When this proclamation was made, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God came and was present among the people. You know, the Spirit of God, this same Spirit of God we know for believers is living inside of us. And the Bible tells us that we are to be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the one who gives us courage and understanding and help. Another name for the Spirit of God is the Comforter. He comforts us when we're in trouble. He comforts us when we find ourselves in a trial. So in order, number one, to look to Christ in times of trouble, we have to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible tells us, be not drunk with wine wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of God. We know that Satan would desire nothing more for powerless believers, those that would have the Holy Spirit quenched. But we have to keep that fire burning if we are going to look to Christ. In the book of Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17, it says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. We have a mighty Spirit that is living inside of us. And God desires to help us. The Spirit is our comforter. He comforts us. He is our advocate. He is our helper. He instructs and he guides. And I ask you, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Many people believe that the Holy Spirit is just a force or is just a power. The Holy Spirit has force. The Holy Spirit has power. But the Holy Spirit's a person. Because you can only grieve a person. You can't grieve a force. And the Holy Spirit can be quenched, can be grieved, can be pleased. And we must be filled. Number one, if we are going to be people who look to God in times of trouble, we have to be filled with God's precious Spirit. If we're going to be people, number two, that would look to God in times of trouble, we must dismiss all fear and discouragement. We must dismiss all fear and discouragement. Look with me in verse number 15. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The enemies were still coming. The children of Israel were still outnumbered. The battle was raging, and God said, be not afraid. There was a preacher in England named Charles Spurgeon. He said it well. He said, he that counts the stars in the sky and knows each of them by name is in no danger of forgetting his own children. He knows your case as thoroughly as though you're the only creature that he has ever created, or as though you are the only child that he has ever loved. You can trust this God. We can trust that God has all power given unto him. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You see, it doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter the trials that we face. We can trust this truth. God is able. So because we serve a God that is able, we have no need to fear. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 32 verse 27, the Lord asked a question. He said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I want to ask you, is there anything too hard for God? Your trial, the circumstances that you're facing, the things that you don't share with the brethren at church, that thing, the thing that the Spirit of God is putting his hand on right now, that thing that follows you to sleep and that wakes up with you in the morning, that thing that robs you of your joy and makes you nervous and anxious, I ask you, is that thing too hard for God? Jeremiah answered rightly. He said, oh, Lord God, behold, in verse 17, thou hast created the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. We serve a God that has all power in his hands. And by the way, God is not on the balcony of heaven wringing his hands wondering what's going on. We serve a God that is sovereign. We serve a God that is in control. Everything that happens, everything that we face, God is in control. And there is nothing that will just pass God. Even when Satan wanted to tempt Job, he had to first go to God. Why did he have to go to God? Because God's in control. So because we serve a God that is in control, we have no need to fear. You know, faith and fear do not go together. It is either you are a fearful person or you are living by faith. We allow the problems and the trials to rob us. We spend today's strength on tomorrow's problems. And God says, be not afraid. Notice, he continues. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. He's saying, even though this army is coming, even though the problems are right ahead of you, he said, be not afraid. And then he says, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Notice in verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still. You know, it takes faith to stand still in a storm. It takes faith to set ourselves. But this is what he has commanded us to do. Set yourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. So we see that God has given us a command. He gave his people a command. This was not a suggestion. This was a command by Jehovah God. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. And I take courage to know that when we find ourselves in the time of trouble, we can pray. How many of you guys are thankful we can pray? And that we serve a God that delights to hear and answer our prayers. The Lord Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will of the Father, and it shall be done unto you. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We have a God in heaven that delights in hearing and answering the prayers of his people. And concerning prayer, God answers prayer for one reason and for one reason alone. And that is for his own glory. In Psalm 50, verse 15, he says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Why am I going through these financial difficulties? Thou shalt glorify me. Why am I dealing with these family problems and this trial that seems to never end? It comes to this. Thou shalt glorify me. We were created for the glory of God, and God will be glorified with our lives. And he has called us to trust him, to look to him, not to look to our circumstances, not to look at the armies in front of us, not to be discouraged, not to be dismayed, but to keep our eyes upon our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So number two, we see we must dismiss all fear, throw it off of the boat. We must face our troubles by faith, believing that God has given us the victory. Number three, we must face our troubles by faith, believing that God has already given us the victory. Notice with me in verse 17. He says, you shall not need to fight in this battle, set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. And notice what he says. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Sometimes we come to church, we take our problems and we put it on a coat rack, and then we enjoy the worship, we enjoy spending time with each other, and the moment church is over, we pick our problems back up, we put it on, and we go back out. We dread oftentimes Mondays because we know we have to go back and face the world. But God says, tomorrow when you face it, go out by faith because God is with you. You know, we are commanded to live by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And the way we live by faith is by looking unto Jesus. That's the definition of faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So he says, look to him. So what is it that you're dealing with today? What trials, what problems are you facing? Whatever those may be, my exhortation to God's people this morning is to look to Jesus. Keep your eyes upon him. It doesn't matter, though the mountains be removed, whatever happens, keep your eyes upon him. Even keeping this in mind that even if everything crashes, this is not our home anyway. Our home, our citizenship is in heaven. We have an inheritance that is incorruptible, that's undefiled, and that fadeth not away. And one day God will call us to be home. But while we are here on this earth, we are commanded to live by faith. When I was a kid in my church, they used to sing the song, "This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." Don't you take comfort in knowing that we're just passing through? When we realize that we're just passing through, what we're dealing with doesn't seem too bad because it's only temporary. And the Bible tells us that it is given unto you to suffer for Christ. So trials and tribulations and storms, they're normal. But it's how you deal with them. It's whether or not you're looking to Jesus. It's who your eyes are fixed upon. So we're told to face our troubles by faith, believing that God has already given us the victory. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. When I was in school, there was a class of preachers, and a guest instructor came and was teaching the students a verse. He was trying to encourage the students to memorize Romans chapter 8, verse 28. He told the students to quote it, and they said, "All things work together." And he said, "No, that's not the verse. Try again. All things work together." He said, "No, that's not it again. That's not it. For we know. For we know. There is a certainty that whatever it is that you're dealing with as believers, it will work together for good to them that love God, who them who are the called according to his purpose." Keep your eyes upon Jesus. As we walk out of these doors in just a little bit, keep your eyes upon Jesus. As you deal with your trials and your troubles, keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We see we have to be filled with the Spirit of God. Realizing that the Spirit of God is a person and that we can grieve this Spirit of God. We also see that we have to dismiss all fear and discouragement. I like to say, throw it off the boat. It has no room. We have to face our troubles by faith, believing that God has already given us the victory. And by the way, the victory is already won. And this is the victory, even our faith, that overcomes the world. Lastly, when we find ourselves in times of trouble, we have to worship God. Let me build some quick context for you here. The enemies are coming. The children of Israel are outnumbered. They still do not have the resources or the manpower to fight off this great coalition of armies. Notice verse 18. "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Isn't this incredible? That while they were in the battle, while they were in the storm, they began to worship God. See, when we find ourselves in times of trouble, the way we look to God is by worshiping God. Look, when we find ourselves in a time of trouble, we say, we need to have faith. But how do you have faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We can't look to God if we're not looking to Him in His word. It's literally like this: I am looking to God's word, and that's how I'm looking to God. And I'm going to obey God's word. God's word commands me to be filled with the Spirit of God. So in order for me to look to God, I must be filled with the Spirit of God. God's words tells me not to be afraid nor discouraged. So I must do that. God's word tells me to face my troubles, face my problems by faith, believing that God has already given us the victory. Thank God that because we are children of God, we are victors. God cannot lose. And we are His children. We already won. We already read the end of the book. Satan knows that one day he'll be cast into the lake of fire. So we can take comfort in this fact. God has given you the victory. But by faith, we have to claim it. By faith, we have to claim it. The book of Numbers, chapter 21. The children of Israel began to murmur against Moses and began to murmur against God. God hates murmuring. And he was so displeased that he sent fiery serpents. And many of the children of Israel died. They were bitten. Many became sick. Then the elders realized what they had done. And they went to Moses and they said, Moses, please pray for us. God's judging us because we murmured against you and because we murmured against God. And Moses went and prayed. And the Lord gave Moses this instruction. He said, take a pole and put a serpent upon it and lift it up. And everyone who is bitten, if they look to that serpent, they will be healed. Signifying the Lord Jesus Christ, how one day he would be lifted up upon a cross. And whosoever by faith looks to him and calls upon him for salvation will be healed of their sickness of sin. I ask you, have you looked to Christ for salvation? You see, this message is for the believer and for the unbeliever. It is the same message. Look to Christ. If you're here today and you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, look to Christ by faith. If you're here today and you are a believer, you're facing a storm, you're facing a trial, look to Christ by faith. This is the message that God desires for us. For us to be people who look to Christ. Even when we don't know what to do. He said in verse 12, neither know we what to do. Sometimes God allows us to be in situations where we don't have the answer. Think about the children of Israel when they left Egypt. Remember when Moses led them out of the Egypt and they came to the Red Sea? There was absolutely nothing that they were able to do. They were right in front of the water and God led them there. Sometimes God will lead us to places where we don't know what to do. You know, we don't have the answers. And it forces us to look to God. So sometimes we will find ourselves in a trial where God just doesn't allow us to have the answers. Because the only thing we can do is look to Him. My exhortation is short and simple. Look to Jesus. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon Thee. Let's pray. Father God, we realize this morning that we desperately need You. Father, we need to keep our eyes upon You. Help us not to be distracted. Help us not to fall by the wayside. But Father, help us with steadfast faith. Look to You. I pray for anyone here who may not know Christ as their Savior, that today they would be saved. And for those believers who are here, God, I pray that we would look to You every day of our lives. for we desperately need you. Thank you, Father, that one day you will take us away. You will take us home. Our future is certain. We have no need to fear. Help us to trust you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, let's take a moment to pray. How many of you would say this morning, no one looking around, would you pray for me? That's me. I need to refocus my eyes back to Jesus. I need to look to Jesus. If that'll be you, just as a testimony before God, would you lift your hands and say, that's me. I see those hands. Would there be anyone here who would say, you know, Brother David, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I need to look to Christ for salvation. Would you pray for me? If that'll be you, would you slip your hand and say, that's me. I need to be saved. I want to know more about eternal life. Let's all pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the word of God that gives us comfort and direction and guidance. And Father, as we leave this place today, may we leave with our eyes fixed on our Savior. May we leave with faith. May we leave with courage and with strength, believing that we have a purpose on this earth and that no trial will hinder us from accomplishing what you have set for us to do. We are thankful for the grace that we can be strong in. We're thankful for the salvation that we have. We're thankful for the Spirit that you have given us. Thank you, Father, that you have promised in your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. So, Father, we give you all high praise and honor and glory, all power and wisdom ascribed to your name. And we pray these things in the name of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.